All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a look at a case that had pretty big implications. I mean, it started with a lawsuit alleging gender discrimination and retaliation, but Zubelake, the UBS Warburg, well, it really set the standard for how we handle electronic evidence, like even today, right?
Yeah.
And just to really emphasize the point here, the jury awarded a $29 million verdict against UBS. So yeah, you could say the stakes are pretty high when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the discrimination and retaliation claims are important, but what really makes Zubelake so fascinating, at least for us, is the precedent it set for e-discovery. You know, it's like this really stark warning from the past. It reminds us that especially nowadays, with so much of our lives happening online, how we manage electronic data can have, well, huge legal and financial consequences.
Okay, so let's rewind a bit and go back to the beginning. Laura Zubelake, she sued her former employer, UBS Warburg, alleging gender discrimination and retaliation. So for someone just starting to learn about this area of the law, what makes this case so important when it comes to e-discovery?
Well, the issue at the heart of Zubelake was how UBS handled, or I guess you could say, mishandled their electronic data, specifically emails and backup tapes. Even though UBS knew litigation was a possibility, they didn't really make an effort to preserve evidence. In fact, a litigation hold, which is basically an order to preserve documents, was issued in August 2001. But the way they went about it wasn't effective at all.
So they had hold in place, but it didn't really hold. For someone trying to understand how this works in practice, what exactly went wrong with how they implemented it?
You got it. So even though there was this litigation hold, UBS employees kept deleting emails like it was normal. And it wasn't just like accidental deletions. It seemed like they didn't understand the instructions, or even worse, the company wasn't enforcing them. And on top of that, the IT department at UBS kept doing what they always did, recycling backup tapes. Now, this is super important for anyone studying law. Backup tapes can have a ton of old emails and data that might not exist anywhere else. By recycling the tapes, UBS was basically throwing away potential evidence.
And the timing here seems important, right? They anticipated litigation in April, the hold was in August, and then they lost evidence during that whole time.
Yeah, that's right. Crucial evidence was either completely lost because of deleted emails and those recycled tapes, or it was given to Zubelake's legal team way after they asked for it. This delay, along with the fact that key data was gone, ended up being a big deal in the court's rulings and the penalties that UBS eventually got hit with.
Okay, so we've got the background. A lawsuit brewing, a failed attempt to preserve evidence, and a whole lot of missing or delayed data. So what were the big legal questions that the court had to figure out because of all this?
Well, the main questions were whether UBS had actually failed in their duty to preserve evidence when they knew a lawsuit was likely. And if they did fail, what should the consequences be? What kind of legal remedies or punishments should happen? The court needed to decide how bad UBS messed up, really. Were they just negligent, meaning they made a mistake? Or was it gross negligence, where they basically ignored their duty? Or, even worse, did they intentionally destroy evidence to keep it hidden? Figuring out how responsible they were was key to the court's final decision.
And this is where Zubelake really changed things, didn't it? It wasn't just a slap on the wrist for losing some emails. What specific legal principles, you know, regarding preserving evidence came out of this case?
Yeah, you're right. Zubelake set some major ground rules. First, it made it clear that once you know litigation's coming, and in this case, the court said UBS knew back in April 2001, you have to immediately stop your normal document destruction procedures. That means no more automatically deleting emails or, you know, recycling backup tapes.
That makes sense. You can't keep doing business as usual when you know those very documents could be important in a lawsuit.
Right. Second, the ruling really hammered home the importance of putting a litigation hold in place. This is a specific instruction telling people in the company to save certain types of data that might be relevant to the lawsuit. But Zubelake didn't stop there. It said you have to implement this hold effectively when it comes to electronically stored information, or ESI, which back then was a pretty new area of law.
And this is where it gets really important for future lawyers. UBS's lawyers couldn't just send out an email saying, hey, everybody save everything.
Right. No, not at all. The Zubelake ruling set a big precedent by saying that lawyers have a duty to actively make sure that litigation hold is being followed. It's not something you can just delegate and forget about. The court was clear. Lawyers have to take steps to make sure the hold is working. This means checking in with key employees, figuring out where important data is stored in the company's systems, and especially making sure backup tapes and other ESI sources are safe and sound. This changed the game for lawyers. They couldn't just know the law. They had to become involved in their clients' IT systems and actually manage information. That's a skill that's still super important today.
So the court basically said lawyers need to be much more hands-on when it comes to preserving data. It was a move away from just doing paperwork.
Absolutely. The court understood that electronic data can be tricky and that it can be accidentally or even intentionally deleted if no one's watching closely. This idea of active monitoring by lawyers is one of the key things that came out of Zubelik.
So let's dig a little deeper into the court's thinking. Why did they decide that UBS didn't do what they were supposed to? What specific things did the court point out in their decision?
Well, the court found a few major problems. First, as we've already talked about, UBS's lawyers didn't make sure the litigation hold was being followed. Employees kept deleting emails, which meant there was a big problem with either how they communicated the hold or how they enforced it. Second, the IT department kept recycling those backup tapes even after the hold was in place. The court called this a big systemic failure. It showed that different parts of UBS weren't working together and they didn't understand the importance of preserving evidence. Because UBS didn't stop recycling tapes, Zubelik set a big rule. Companies have to immediately stop their usual document destruction policies when they think a lawsuit's coming.
And it wasn't like the company had no clue that they should be saving information. Someone had told them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So who did the court say was ultimately responsible for messing up?
They put a lot of the blame on the lawyers. The court basically said the lawyers didn't do enough to make sure important data was secure. For example, they didn't make sure backup tapes with potentially relevant info were set aside and protected from being recycled. The court made it clear that lawyers have to learn about their clients' data systems if they want to make sure everything is preserved correctly. They can't just be clueless about how their clients handle electronic information. The court decided that UBS's lawyers were at least negligent for not doing more to prevent the loss of evidence.
And how this affected Zubelik's ability to argue her case was a big part of why the court decided to punish UBS, like the idea of prejudice.
Exactly. The court thought it was a big deal that those missing emails could have had important evidence to support Zubelik's claims of discrimination and retaliation. Since those emails were gone because of UBS, Zubelik was put at a disadvantage in court. The court decided that this disadvantage, which happened because UBS was at least negligent, meant they had to be penalized.
So what were the specific penalties that the court decided on for UBS?
The biggest one was the adverse inference instruction. This is a pretty powerful thing a court can do. In Zubelik, it meant the jury was told they could assume that the deleted emails would have hurt UBS's defense. So the jury could basically assume that the missing evidence would have been bad for UBS's case.
That's a pretty straightforward way to even the playing field. Or maybe even tip it against the side that didn't save the evidence.
You could say that. It changes how the jury sees the case and who they think needs to prove what. Besides the adverse inference instruction, UBS also had to pay some of the costs for Zubelik's lawyers because they provided evidence so late and incompletely. That included having to redo depositions, which can be really expensive.
And of course, we can't forget what happened at the end of the trial. The jury decided against UBS and awarded Zubelik $29 million. That wasn't directly part of the court's punishment, but it shows how risky it is to mishandle e-discovery. The huge verdict wasn't just a fine. It showed how not having evidence, because you didn't preserve it, can destroy your defense, even if the original claims against you are weak.
Exactly. The jury's verdict reflected what they thought about the discrimination and retaliation, but that adverse inference instruction definitely played a big part in how they decided. That big financial penalty serves as a reminder that messing up e-discovery can have real consequences.
So big picture, what's the lasting impact of Zubelik? Why should anyone working in law today, especially those of you in law school, care about this case? This case shows future lawyers that e-discovery isn't just a tech issue, it's a big ethical and practical responsibility right from the start.
Zubelik had a huge impact on the way law is practiced. It's a landmark case, a foundation, and a real guide for how e-discovery needs to be done in today's legal world. It clearly laid out that lawyers have a duty to actively monitor litigation holds. It's not enough to just tell people to preserve documents. The case also brought attention to how important it is to carefully handle backup tapes and all those other forms of electronic information. And even now, Zubelik is still cited in e-discovery disagreements in many places. That just shows how relevant it still is, and how the principles in the case are still at the center of how courts understand and enforce e-discovery rules. For all lawyers, new and experienced, understanding Zubelik isn't optional. It's part of being a good lawyer in our digital world. If you don't understand what this case means, you could face serious penalties, ethical problems, and you could even ruin your client's case.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Zuba Lake v. UBS Warburg, what's the most important thing you want listeners to take away from all of this?
Here's the key takeaway. Zuba Lake shows us that, in law today, electronic evidence isn't some side issue. It's often the most important thing in a case. This decision really highlights how crucial it is to start preserving evidence early and proactively as soon as you even think a lawsuit might be coming. It shows how important it is for lawyers and their clients to communicate well and work together to make sure litigation holds are not only issued, but also put into action, checked on, and followed. And finally, it shows that you need to keep detailed records of every single thing you do in the e-discovery process. Zuba Lake is a clear example of how messing up e-discovery can have serious consequences. It can determine whether you win or lose, and it can even affect your whole career as a lawyer. So everyone in the legal field needs to really think about what Zuba Lake means for their own work and handle e-discovery with the seriousness and care it deserves.
That's great advice. Well, thanks for joining us on the deep dive and breaking down this landmark case. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into another fascinating legal battle.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.